20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome in to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Always appreciate you guys being here. It is Friday. Hope the start of your weekend is going amazing. We officially have an NFL preseason game in the books, or do we? Let's be real here. There should be a very clear asterisk next to this game. It did not finish in its entirety, right? It had a weather cancellation. It should be stricken completely from the books, and under it should be the quote, "The Bears still suck." So yes, Bears get the win. I have not had the opportunity to watch any of it quite yet. I'll probably watch the condensed version on NFL Plus and then maybe watch a couple of specific players that I want to, you know, take a closer look at. But it sounds like it was a mostly somewhat kind of entertaining game for a Hall of Fame game until the rain sort of canceled everything. We've certainly seen some bad weather in Hall of Fame games in the past. Let's talk about the Green Bay Packers, though, because that's a whole heck of a lot more fun. Before I get there, quick shout out to Joshua Liebhauser for becoming a brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member. If you haven't checked out those memberships yet, now is a great time to do so. Four different tiers, tons of different stuff available. I'm not going to go through all of it because I want to get to a bunch of Packers stuff, but go check those out. And of course, like, subscribe, comment, five-star review, all the great stuff. Always appreciate you a ton. Thank you for doing it. All right, let's start with participation because there was quite a few changes from a participation standpoint. A lot of rest days, which is a good thing when people are missing. You want it to be a rest day. Elgton Jenkins continues on his rest rotation. He was out with a rest day. Rashawn Gary, Preston Smith, Kenny Clark, and Tyler Davis, who's still coming off that torn ACL from a year ago. All five of them were officially vet rest days. So again, Jenkins, Gary, Preston Smith, Kenny Clark, and Tyler Davis. Josh Myers was once again on a personal day. Don't know the reasons. Don't know if it's positive or negative. Just hope he's doing okay. This is his third personal day in what, like the past weekish. And just, you know, the way that Matt LaFleur said it in his press conference when he said Josh had a personal day made it feel like it was probably something that was more negative than positive. I hope that's not the case. I hope I'm wrong. And either way, just hope Josh is doing all right. Some new injuries. Josh Jacobs out with a groin injury. No real sort of timetable, although it did sound like Josh Jacobs said in the locker room that if there were a game, he would be able to play. So sounds like it's not anything major. Edgerrin Cooper has a hip injury. We'll have to kind of wait and see how long he might be out. And then Don Callis is out with a hamstring injury. Don Callis is just so weird to say. For anyone that's a wrestling fan or a fan of AEW, he's a bad guy character, manager character, and he has a faction called the Don Callis family. So, and it's spelled to say, it is a very odd thing as an AEW fan to constantly say Don Callis as a member of the Green Bay Packers every day. But I digress. Don Callis has a hamstring injury. Some existing injuries: Carrington Valentine still out with a hamstring injury, Donovan Jennings with a knee injury, Deslon Alexander with a lower leg injury, Keyshawn Banks with a groin, and Tucker Kraft still on the PUP list with a pec injury. Matt LaFleur did mention that they're going to be cautious with Carrington Valentine. I kind of got the feel like this is not going to be something that he comes back from relatively quick. Hopefully this is not your Christian Watson out multiple weeks sort of thing, but with hamstrings, they are very finicky and you do not want to press them back too quickly because you'll re-aggravate them. We've seen this with Packers in the past. Of course, it is frustrating once again with guys like Don Callis and Carrington Valentine to hear the H word, that hamstring word. I know we all just want it fixed and gone and away with. It's not that easy. There's 91 players that are on the team. As far as I know, all 91 have two hamstrings. That means that we've got, 182 hamstrings that are out there every single day. These are players running at extremely fast paces that are just, you know, complete, nonstop, hardcore working out all the time. Like, these things are going to happen. Like I said, 182 hamstrings out there. As far as we know, only two of them right now of the 182 are having a problem. It just so happens to be one of them is Carrington Valentine's. And hopefully, like I said, it doesn't keep him out too long, but it does sound like they're going to be very cautious with bringing him back. All right, let's get to actually the pre-practice portion, the Matt LaFleur pre-practice press conference, easy for me to say. Two interesting notes on this one, and not from like a, I don't know, it may be interesting to notice, like, the wrong way to put it, but two players that he shouted out. And if you would have told me that Matt would have shouted out two players prior to practice, it probably would have taken me a while to get to these two names. And it's not because they've done anything wrong. It's just, I don't know that we've talked a ton about these two players. And I think this is the great thing and a beautiful reminder of practice and what we can get out of it from a media side of things and those that are watching. I like to think, and maybe this is just my ego playing a part here, I like to think that my ability to watch everything and multitask and get a ton of tweets out and get as much information out there as possible is fairly upper echelon for what you can actually get out of a practice trying to view 85 players that are all around the field at once. But even if that is the case, and even if it's not just me with my ego, maybe if I'm halfway right, there are 80 some players that are taking participation in practice every single day. And I've talked about this before. There are plays, I'll put it this way. If I go into a play and I'm like, you know what? I haven't watched Jordan Morgan in a while. Let me watch Jordan Morgan on this play. If I were to do that, I might watch Jordan Morgan on that play, have a completely nondescript play, something that's not worth talking about, not worth mentioning, just a random play where there's a stalemate at the line of scrimmage. Nobody does anything exciting, nothing certainly tweet worthy. And in the meantime, or he might just not be involved in the play at all. And in the meantime, four or five other amazing things might have happened. And I might have missed that because I'm trying to watch one player. If you go in trying to watch a specific player, you're likely going to miss a lot of other things. And you might get nothing out of watching that one particular player. So what ends up happening is there's a play that's run. You're trying to watch as many of the 22 players that you can at once. And then you're looking for anything noteworthy. Was there a pressure? Was there a potential sack? Did an offensive lineman make a great block? Was there a batted ball down the field? And then you're sort of looking for results. Was there a big completion? Again, an interception, a sack, or whatever it might be. What was the result of the play? But if you're watching for one particular thing, you might not get any of that. And so there are a lot of times, you know, where you'll watch for the entire play as a whole. You might get two or three things that happened on that play. It's not like I'm here watching the all 22 and watching every player on every play. And I can speak to, this is exactly what's happening at practice, or this is exactly what happened in the game, you know? So there's a lot that's going on. So it's just a good reminder of, we are getting a small snippet of what is going on in that individual practice, because it might be, it might end up being a throw down the right side. And we're certainly watching, you know, the wide receiver and the corner that are going at it on the right side. But there might be a corner that's getting toasted on the other side that we don't even notice. Or we might, you know, not miss a wide receiver that does an unbelievable route on the other side. We might see a safety, or we might not see a safety take a horrible angle. And again, these are just things that are accumulating that the coaches see. And the team sees and the players see when they go back and watch the film, but we're just trying the best we can to get you as much information as possible. But there is so much out there that is still not being seen and captured and tweeted about and wrote about in all the great articles that are out there, from Matt Schneidman to Bill Huber to Paul Breddle to all those guys, Rob Domofsky, etc. There's only so much that we can see. And the reason I bring this up is I think so many people do just want to take what is put out there by the media or anyone that's there as canon and as you know, gospel. It's as good as it possibly can be, but it's very imperfect. And I'll just put it that way. And this is why I love, you know, hearing from Matt LaFleur and some of the things that he's seen. He starts off by going over Anthony Johnson Jr. and says, quote, he's had an outstanding, the quote is around outstanding. He's had outstanding camp and has made a, quote, huge jump. And he said he's very excited about him. Those are not throwaway words. And if you've heard or watched Matt's press conferences at all, he's had a lot of different questions about a lot of different players. And he said, you know, he's kept it like, hey, there's a lot of work to be done, you know, or, you know, there, you know, I think he was asked about Sean Clifford. Was it his best day of practice? He's like, I wouldn't say that. Like, he will be pretty candid if guys are not at that level. It takes a decent, it's rare, I should say, that Matt's just going to come out and be like, they're outstanding, huge jump. That is not something that he makes a huge habit out of doing. So when he's asked about Anthony Johnson, and he says, the head coach says he's had an outstanding camp and has made a huge jump, that stands out to me. And I think it should stand out to everyone as well that there's this second round pick in Javon Bullard, who, by the way, is playing very well, at least from our eyes. He seems to be playing very well. And I think a lot of people just expected to win that job, that he just isn't, winning it. This is not a Javon Bullard conversation. This is an Anthony Johnson Jr. conversation, that Johnson is still in that competition, because I think a lot of us just expected that second round pick to just take that job, especially if he played well. And so far, it seems like he's playing well. And then you have Evan Williams, who seems to be even playing better than Javon Bullard, at least in a very similar conversation. He was drafted with a fourth round pick. You would again think that it's probably a competition between Evan Williams and Javon Bullard, but it's not. It is a legitimate competition right now between Evan Williams, Javon Bullard, and Anthony Johnson Jr. And quite frankly, all three of them have been pretty darn impressive, which is great. And we don't even know what Ketan Oladapo is going to become yet. He's a complete, wild card at this point still. So this is a great situation to have, but I think it is super noteworthy that Matt is, again, saying he's outstanding and taking a huge jump. That definitely caught my ears and certainly wanted to bring that up as well. And then he had a ton of praise for TJ Slayton and the camp that he is having as well. And there is apparently a reason why he is getting a lot of those starter reps, and it's not Devontae Wyatt or Carl Brooks or Colby Wooden or any of those other guys. We have seen Wyatt and Wooden each get a day there as well, but it has primarily been TJ Slayton next to Kenny Clark. And the way that Jeff Hafley talked about him a couple days ago, and the way that Matt talked about him yesterday, whew, my goodness. TJ Slayton's in a contract year. This is a huge year for him. I've talked about it in the past, man. If TJ Slayton plays to his potential, we're talking about one of the better defensive linemen in all of football. He is that freaky. He's 330. He can penetrate into the backfield. He can stack dudes. He can do basically anything he wants. He can reset the line of scrimmage. He is a massive man to try to handle, and he's got very good agility for his size. He can be a big-time player on this defensive line. If he goes out and balls out in a contract year to go get some $20 million contract, probably from some other team next offseason, I'm here for it. Let's see it, TJ, because I know he's capable of it. I really do. And what we're hearing from Hafley and now LaFleur of the way he's playing, that could be a huge big-time win for Green Bay if he can finally show that consistency, because usually we see it in flashes, and it doesn't always continue through the course of a season. If he can do anything like that, it would be a massive win for this defense. So tons of praise for TJ Slayton and Anthony Johnson Jr. All right, let's get to the rest of it. Your starters on the day, Jordan Love, A.J. Dillon. Remember, a lot of vet rest guys and injuries, but Jordan Love, A.J. Dillon, Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, and another wide receiver. I think it was Dontavian Wicks. It might have been Romeo Doubs. I'm not 1,000,000% sure. I couldn't see it for sure. But Watson, Reed, and one more wide receiver. I know for sure it was either Doubs or Wicks. I'm not 100% sure which one it was. Musgrave at tight end. Rashid Walker at left tackle. Royce Newman at left guard. Sean Ryan at center. Jordan Morgan at right guard. And Andre Dillard at right tackle. We did see some Jacob Monk rotate in at center. We saw some rotations at guard. And then we also saw Kadeem Telfort at right tackle as well. So there were some rotations with that number one offensive line. Kingsley Enagbare and LVN were your starting defensive ends, with TJ Slayton and Devontae Wyatt at defensive tackle. Quay Walker and Isaiah McDuffie were your linebackers. Eric Stokes, Jair Alexander, and Keyshawn Nixon your corners. Javon Bullard and Xavier McKinney were your safeties. All right, I started with the quick hits episode talking about Jordan Love. I could have gone in, actually, I take that back. I started with the kickers, but one of my key takeaways with Jordan Love, we'll talk about Jordan as well, but I could have gone in two different directions, because it was Jordan Love, the quarterback, but it was also Dontavian Wicks, the wide receiver. Wicks was unguardable in practice, uncoverable. He looked so freaking good. And it was one of those days where you could just tell Wicks was feeling it. And what I really appreciated about Jordan is that Jordan recognized it. He knew that Wicks was just on one, that he was not going to get stopped, that these corners were not going to be able to take him out of the game. and Wicks just went off and Love continued to find him. He had an immediate middle of the field completion in one of the early team periods. He had another easy completion with easy separation in another one of the team periods. He had a 13-yard completion to start the two-minute drill. He had a beautiful sideline route against Eric Stokes. More on that one in just a moment. He then forced a pass interference in the red zone, which resulted in the ball being placed at the one-yard line, and then had the final catch in two-minute as well. Granted, he got stuffed before the end zone at the one-yard line, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. Either way, it was just Dontayvion Wicks catch and another catch and another catch and another catch and another catch. He had at least five receptions and a PI call on the day. He was fantastic. And I'll talk about the Eric Stokes one in the two-minute drill. This was another one where you could tell Wicks was just getting open over and over again. So I'm watching him at the line because I know he's not going to get guarded, and I know that Love is going to look his way. So I just talked about, you know, don't watch a specific player. I broke my rule. I watched a specific player on this one. Wicks beats Stokes off the line. Great. I think it was a little stutter step, but he had a great release off the line. Gets past him, stacks him. If you're not familiar, stacking him means you run and then you make it so that he is running from behind you, right? So that he's trying to get through you. It's like if you're racing, you want to get in front of that car, right? If you're, you know, racing cars, you want to get in front of that car so they can't pass you. It's the same concept. You want to stack him so that you, once you get even with him, now you kind of pull ahead of him so he's behind you. And that's what it's called by stacking him. So he stacks him and then gains separation down the field. Love, chef kiss, perfect throw. Wicks, beautiful catch, and gets out of bounds. Huge, huge play in 2 minutes. And like I said, came back and had the pass interference penalty after that. The last couple days, it was Romeo Doubs, the talk of training camp at the wide receiver position. Today, huge day from Dontayvion Wicks. We've seen some really good things from Christian Watson as well. Jaden Reed's been a little bit quieter, but not anything wrong, bad. He's going to be fantastic. Nope, there's no concerns there by any means. But I promise you, there will be Christian Watson days. There will be Jaden Reed days. There will continue to be Romeo Doubs days. And there will continue to be Dontayvion Wicks days. And that is the beauty of this wide receiver room, is just when you think of like, wow, Romeo Doubs, he looks like maybe he's going to be the number one. Then Dontayvion Wicks the next day is like, no. Watch what I can do. It would not shock me if in family night, we're talking about another wide receiver. And then the day after that, in the next, open practice, a totally different wide receiver. Again, that is the beauty of it. And I think we're going to continue to see that. And I don't think there's going to be, again, that true number one, because they just have too many freaking talented wide receivers. And it is an awesome spot to be in. And hopefully we do see a new wide receiver taking command just about every single day. Marshawn Lloyd was another fun player. There are only two sort of takeaway plays on this one. Both of them are interesting. One was just I think it was more of like a Texas route and more of like just a little bit of a check down to Lloyd, but just plucks the ball to the air, quickly turns around, kind of makes a little bit of a guy miss, and then gets upfield for a few extra yards. In the scheme of things, was it anything too crazy? Nah. But was it a noticeable play where you could see his beautiful movement skills on display? It was, and I enjoyed it. And then the big play, 50-yard run by Marshawn Lloyd. These are always the interesting ones. Corey Ballantyne probably would have maybe had a chance to make a play on him in the hole. Lloyd does a great job of getting to the line, seeing the hole to his left, making that little cut back to his left, making a little juke on Ballantyne, getting outside, accelerating, gone, 50-yard touchdown. I think Bill Huber thought Ballantyne would have had him. Pete Doherty and myself thought, nah, Lloyd's going to break that or get outside and he's going to make the big play. Who knows? Who's to say? Quite frankly, as I mentioned in the quick hits, I don't really care. I care about the process. The process from Lloyd was beautiful, and the playmaking ability that he showed on that run, the vision, the cut, the acceleration, the juke, all of it, perfect. And whether or not it would have been a 50-yard run or more of like a 5 or 6 yard run, we'll never know. But he showed that he's capable of doing it. And again, the movement skills from Lloyd are just off the charts. He is very, very fun to watch. And I'm excited for people to be able to see him once preseason and the regular season rolls around, because I think you are really going to enjoy the way that Marshawn Lloyd runs. Couple players on that defensive front. who continue to trend in the right direction. First of all, Carl Brooks, he is really heating up as of late. He had a sack of Sean Clifford and just continued to be disruptive through a few different plays in practice. He's holding up well at the line of scrimmage. He's really been coming on as of late. And then LVN as well. I talked about it yesterday, had back-to-back days of really good practice, had another day of really good practice. Again, good in the run game, had a sack of Jordan Love on the day. It just, the consistency we're starting to see from him is so much better. This is better than any stretch of camp he had last year, better than last week, better than OTAs and mini camp. We're starting to see a consistent approach from LVN, and now those raw natural gifts starting to take over a little bit more. He's been really fun to watch. We're starting to see more and more of that first round potential. Not dominant, not some, oh my goodness, he's going to be a star sort of moments, but consistency and playmaking. And that's what you're looking for in year two of LVN, is just a little bit more of that, a little bit more consistency, a little bit more playmaking. Jordan Love. Got to talk about some Jordan Love. If you want to hear more about Jordan, I talked about him more in the quick hits. I just want to talk about those two throws. The two throws, we talked about one of them to Dontayvion Wicks. Just a beautiful arced throw right into the hands of Dontayvion Wicks. Could not have handed it to him any better. Probably 30, 35 yards down the field. And then the other one was a seam shot to pass Quay Walker to Christian Watson. Quay was all over it. I mean, Quay is sprinting down the field, sticking with Christian Watson to the best of his ability. Not many linebackers are going to stick with Christian in that situation. Quay was able to. And then, so this is the cover two, two safeties, linebacker running up the seam with the seam wide receiver. You get that Bermuda triangle, safety, safety, linebacker. And if everything goes according to plan, as a quarterback, you can hit the middle of that Bermuda triangle and you can get it to your wide receiver just in front of the linebacker and just before those two safeties are able to get there. And that's exactly what Jordan did. And this was one of those where, if you look at it from a quarterback's point of view, Watson is not open. Like, Quay's covering him very, very well, but Quay's back is to the ball. He has to sprint with him, right? He can't be backpedaling and looking. He's got to sprint to keep up with Christian Watson. So he can't turn his head and see where that ball is. So if you can throw a perfect ball, Quay's not making any sort of pass deflections. He has no idea where that ball is. And for Christian, Christian did a great job of getting late hands to not tip where the ball was going to be for Quay. Not that Quay, I don't know if Quay has that in his skill set. Usually that's something for advanced corners, not necessarily inside linebackers. But still, Christian did a great job of delaying it and then throwing his hands out, plucking the ball out of the air. But it could not have been any better throw. And those are big time throw your receiver open sort of plays that result in big time yardage pickups and explosive plays down the field. These were two elite level NFL throws that Jordan showed off in a random August 1st practice. And he was on one overall throughout the course of the day. No interceptions. I don't think any interceptable or turnover worthy plays. And then consistency throwing the football, and then the big time playmaking ability. And that's exactly what you want to see. The rust is gone. This is the Jordan I'm not saying he has to be perfect every day, but this is the Jordan I think we can expect moving forward. He's now picking up right where he was leaving off from a season ago, but just two dominant big time throws from QB1 and a great day overall from Jordan Love. Kicking competition took a turn on Thursday. We had Anders Carlson go 4 for 7 on the day, missing 3. Remember, Greg Joseph already had 1 kick up on Carlson going into the day. How did Joseph do? 7 for 7 on the day. So now Joseph is 4 kicks up on Anders Carlson. So Joseph is now 29 for 31 in camp, a 93.5% field goal made percentage. 93.5. Carlson, after his 4 for 7 day, is now 25 for 31 for 80.6%. Almost 13% better now for Joseph over Anders Carlson. That is a significant difference. On the one hand, you can just say it's just 4 kicks, but man, the difference between 13% of your kicks, like that is a lot. That is a ton when you talk about kicking percentage. I believe if everything's equal or close to equal, Anders will be the guy. But we're now at a point where these are not close to equal. And what we've seen is Anders miss, what, I want to say 4 or 5 kicks in the last 2 days. What was yesterday's? Bringing it up really quick. Anders. Sorry, just make it, see if I can find it really quick here. I think it was day 7, actually. I can't remember if he kicked on. Yeah, so it was day 7 that he kicked. He was 5 for 6 at that point. Either way, Anders has missed a few kicks lately is kind of the moral of the story here. But what we've seen from Anders is he will get in these funks where he just goes through a cold stretch. And I just said it a few days ago, that's the one thing Anders can't have right now, because he was kicking really well. And it's okay to miss one here or there. That's fine. That's going to happen from time to time. But now you've seen a day where he made only 4 of 7, missed 3, missed 1 in the previous day. This is something that he's got to get, you know, cleaned up right now, because Joseph isn't missing right now. His operation has been fantastic. And every time it leaves Joseph's foot, it looks like it's going in. He's had a lot right down the middle. So Joseph is on one. Carlson's taking a little bit of a step back. And like I said, this feels like a turning point for this kicking competition. I'm not saying Joseph's going to make it, but it would be interesting. It'd be very interesting if cut downs were today, what they would do now that Joseph is pretty well significantly better with where things are at right now through camp. A lot of time left. Family night and the preseason games will go a long way in ultimately determining this competition. But there's a chance now that Greg Joseph just goes out and wins this thing. It is getting closer and closer, meaning I thought Anders was going to win it. Now, I'm not sure. I think this is more of a coin flip and a huge day overall for Joseph. 2-minute drill. We've got 3 of them to go over here. And then we're going to kind of go through a few miscellaneous things and we'll get out of here. This was the situation in 2-minute for both the 1s and the 2s. Ball at your own 45, down by 7, 1 minute left, no timeouts, 1st and 10. So we talked about a few of these plays in here already. Love goes to Dontavian Wicks for 13 yards, 1st down, clock ticks. Then Wicks has that next huge play that we talked about. I don't know if it was like a 30-yard gain or whatever it was, but beautiful release versus Eric Stokes. Absolute dime from Love. Beautiful, beautiful play. And the offense starts out fantastic. So they're down to the 16-yard line. So they went from the 45 to the 16 in 2 plays. They were down to 38 seconds left, no timeouts, 1st and 10. And then Brenton Cox comes around, almost has a sack of Jordan Love, but Love is able to get it off to Dobbs down the field just in time. Dobbs was just breaking open. I think the pressure forced Love to basically just kind of throw it away. Ended up being incomplete. I think Love made the right decision there. Just lived to see another down. Then Love hit a check down to Jaden Reed, who picked up 7, but the clock continued to tick. Dillard then had a nice block on Brenton Cox to give Jordan Love a little bit more time. And it was, I think the next play was a incomplete pass, if I remember correctly. And it ended up being 4th and 2 at the 7 is where things were after that. So 4th and 2 at the 7, 9 seconds left. And this is where I was once again looking at Dontavian Wicks. And yes, of course, Dontavian Wicks, Javon Bullard. Wicks gets an easy release off the line of scrimmage, jukes Javon Bullard into oblivion. Love does a gorgeous job under a blitz of just lofting a ball before Wicks even breaks for it. So Wicks will have the opportunity to make that break. Look around. The ball is going to be beautifully in air. Touchdown, Dontavian Wicks. Except Javon Bullard does the right thing, knowing that the clock is winding down, knowing that the one thing he can't do is allow an easy touchdown. He grabs him and makes sure that Wicks can't secure that catch. So it's going to be a 1st and goal at the 1-yard line, but now there's only 4 seconds left, which is probably only time for one more play. They get that playoff. It's a little short route to Dontavian Wicks with a couple blockers in front. Keyshawn Nixon and Jair Alexander do a tremendous job of hitting Wicks and forcing him out of bounds at the 1-yard line. That final second ticks off the clock just after he goes out of bounds. Could there have been a 2nd left? Would have been close if they were to review it and everything. But practice or the 2 minute drill ends, the defense wins, and really smart play by Bullard. You'd love for Bullard just to win on the play, but he didn't. And he made the smart play, took the PI and lived to see another down. And it paid off huge for the defense. Defense technically wins, but some really great plays by Wicks and Love on that drive. The number twos were next. Again, ball at your own 45, down 7, 1 minute left, no timeouts, first and 10. First play, Clifford scrambles, no gain, maybe a slight loss, but he did get out of bounds on the play. Clifford to Heath with a nice anticipation throw on an out route, picks up 7, third down, did get out of bounds as well. Third and 3, Kalen King undercuts a route, looks like maybe he's going to pick it off or at least deflect it, whatever, doesn't get a finger on it. Goes right to Samore Toure. I think Toure thought that Kalen King was maybe going to pick it off or tip it away, but King doesn't get anything on it. Toure is expecting him to. Toure drops it. It falls incomplete, and it's fourth down. Clifford tries to find Malik Heath on a slant, but he's super well covered. Ball falls incomplete. Offense goes 4 and out, and really no plays of note from the number two. It's really nice job from the defense. And then finally, an interesting situation. So this was the last series of the day for practice. 16 seconds left, tie game, ball at the opponent's 35-yard line, no timeouts. So what you're looking for here usually is like a quick play out of bounds, but you know the defense is going to, you know, stop the boundaries and make sure you don't do anything outside and don't get out of bounds. Or you usually get that quick 5-6 yard completion over the middle, and then everyone rushes up, spikes it right away. You end up with 4 or 5 seconds left. The field goal unit comes in to kick an easier field goal than what would have been, a 52, 53 yarder. So that's what I'm expecting, is them to run that quick 5-6 minute play, let the clock tick down, spike it with 1 second left, kicker comes on to potentially hit the game winner. But instead, very first play, Love sees Romeo Dobbs breaking free downfield, puts a ball right on him, but Bullard and Dobbs both simultaneously go for it. Big collision in the end zone. Both players down afterwards. Thankfully, Bullard was able to stay in the game and Romeo Dobbs said he was good. So it didn't seem like there was any real cause for concern there, but that was a pretty big collision. The ball ultimately falls incomplete. And then you had another play where I'm expecting, all right, now they're just going to, again, get something maybe short and out of bounds. Love gets the ball, rolls out, buys time, looks downfield, sees Bo Melton in the end zone, rifles the ball right to him. It's a little bit of a tough angle for Melton, but it goes what looked like right through Bo Melton's hands. Like, I don't even think he got a hand on it. Like, it literally just went like buzzing right by him. An uncharacteristic play for an NFL wide receiver and certainly for Bo Melton. I'm not sure if he just didn't locate it or just misjudged it. I'm not exactly sure what happened. Like I said, it was a little bit of a tough angle, but it looked like Love should have had a perfect touchdown to Bo Melton in that situation, but Melton could not hang on and not really get his hands on it, and it ends up going incomplete. So the field goal team comes on, Joseph drills his, Carlson drills his, and that was it for the end of practice. Few miscellaneous notes, Carl Brooks and Colby Wooden both got some time at defensive end in this practice. Jacob Monk, as mentioned before, got some time with the first team at center. He did have some struggles with some snaps, which has been something that's been a little bit of an issue for him in camp so far. Emmanuel Wilson had another nice run on the day. And then Tyler Coyle had a pick six of Jacob Eason. Really nice play from Coyle, who has actually had a pretty nice camp, but he's just a little bit buried on that safety depth chart at the moment. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Always appreciate you guys a ton. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Bradad, Brandon Pauletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donna Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Itaka, Caleb Cookster, SoCal Pack, and Dan Guestford. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.